For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention again to Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning with the 15th verse. Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, beginning with verse 15. These words are recorded. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Amen.
We read for you hearing from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 15 through verse number 20. And the Lord continue to bless us through his word. Christmas is a reminder that God is hope. Instead of giving up on the world, God sent his only begotten Son.
Yes.
Christmas is so inspiring because God sends hope to the hopeless. Mm-hmm. He not only sends the message to those who need him most, but the message to those He sends it through those who needs him most also.
Well,
you see, Christmas is about a poor family, mm-hmm, who under imperial order had to go up to Bethlehem on the occasion of the birth of their firstborn son.
My Lord.
You see, when Jesus was born, God's intention for him to be king was made known not through signaling trumpets or dancing maidens, but through a lowly group of shepherds. God sent the good news about the birth of the Savior of the world to a lowly group of shepherds who worked second shift in the fields outside of Bethlehem.
Come on.
You see, it's commonly believed that the 45th president uses fear to drum up support against the immigrants to gain political support for himself. You see, fear is a weapon used to keep marginalized communities in bondage. The goal of the conservative right wing of this country is to keep us separated by fear so that some of us may vote their way in elections and keep them in power. In spite of such tactics, which have long been operative in politics, the angel still says, "Fear not.
Yes.
For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy,
yes,
which shall be to all people, for unto you is born
this day
in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord."
Well,
you see, the angels left the the most amazing scene of the birth of Jesus, and they went back to heaven, leaving the shepherds in their place, working second shift in the fields. These shepherds were just regular, low-wage working folk, like today's people, normal, what we call the blue-collar workforce, child care workers, cosmetologists, firefighters, taxi drivers, farmers, and sometimes even mistreated secretaries. You see, verse 8 of this pericope says that the shepherds were keeping watch over the flock by night. These shepherds were doing manual labor, caring for sheep. There are many people of color who can relate to doing manual labor during the midnight hours. These manual laborers are the people to whom God chose to reveal his good news. I see this good news was not revealed to a king or to a lord or even to the religious leaders, but the manual laborers working second shift in the fields outside of this little town called Bethlehem. You see, not only were they manual laborers, but in the first century, shepherds had a bad reputation. You see, historians say that most of the time they were considered dishonest. They were believed to be thieves. They led the herds onto other people's land, and they pilfered the produce of that land. And because they were often months at a time without supervision, they were often accused of stealing some of the increase of the flock. Consequently, the pious were warned not to buy wood, milk, or kids from shepherds on the assumption that it may be stolen property. Our shepherds were not allowed to fulfill a judicial office or be admitted in court as a witness. They even had a midrash on Psalm 23 and 2, which read, there is no more disreputable occupation than that of a shepherd. Philo, a Hellenistic Jewish philosopher of Alexander, wrote about looking after sheep and goats. He said, however, the shepherds went in unity to see the thing that the angels had revealed to them. Even though they were considered to be low life, the shepherds found truth lying in a manger. The Greek noun means that for the word manger or crib or feeding trough, a manger means that it was in a stable, or perhaps you might look at it as a cutout cave in a hillside. They were not in the Travel Lodge or the Red Roof Inn, or not even at the Marriott, but Christ was born in a cave. You see, the kind of lodging used by commoners and peasants and working folks. He was born in obscurity as well as in humility. Except for his earthly parents, he was born as he died. He was alone. See, there was no hospital. There was no doctor on call, no midwife. He did not come with pomp and circumstance. His mission at this time was to die, not to be a king. Jesus was born in a place reserved for animals. Perhaps this was fitting for the one who was considered as the Lamb of God. An animal stall smelling of old hay and manure was a fitting picture of the world into which God had entered in the physical. Jesus was born in the depths of poverty. He was born in poverty so that he could reach those who were poor in spirit, born in poverty so that the poor would know that they're always welcome, born in poverty to show that salvation was not a privilege reserved only for the fortunate few, born in poverty to show that salvation could not be bought at any price. He came the first time in poverty, but he's coming again as King of Kings.
Yes.
See, verse 17 says, then these lowly shepherds made it known. You see, folks who are united and have something to tell, they make it known. You know, just like labor unions, they have their way of getting the word out about events that matter to them or to their members. And that's why you'll find that unions always have newsletters or newspapers and flyers. And nowadays they have the internet and all of the other social media that goes along with it. These shepherds were no different. What they saw was worth getting the word out about it, and they did. You see, isn't that the thing to do at Christmas? But not just on Christmas. Isn't it the thing to do all year long?
Amen. Amen.
Get the word out.
Yes.
About this babe who was born in Bethlehem. In verses 18 and 19, we see that this news was so worthy that people found themselves amazed, and Mary herself did not share it, but she kept it to herself, and the Bible said that she pondered it in her heart. She did not speak, nor did she reply. She simply pondered all this information in her heart. And according to Webster's, the word pondered means to weigh in mind. Appraise or to think about, reflect on. Mary could have responded in a variety of ways that would have made sense. Reflection certainly makes sense, since Mary was a poor teenager who had just given birth to the Savior of the world. You see, the text concludes by saying that the shepherds returned after seeing Jesus, glorifying and praising God. These men of humble circumstance and perhaps suspect reputations now proclaimed to the world the good news. They proclaimed the news to everyone they met. They didn't segregate it. They didn't look and see if you had on the right clothes. They didn't look and see if your skin was the right texture. Whoever they came upon, they shared the good news. Just like the woman at the well when you cried and she said, "Come, see about a man." Like the angels before them, these shepherds may also have cried, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, this baby identified with those who are weary. Look at Matthew. I won't read it, but Matthew 11 will tell you that he identified for those who are unwise, unlearned in the ways of the world. You see, if God were revealed in the wisdom of man, only wise men would know him. If God was revealed in the strength of man, only strong men could know him. If he was revealed in the accomplishments of man, only the proud would know him. If God was revealed in the wealth of man, only the rich would know him. But God chose to reveal himself in those who are despised in the world, so that when the miracle of salvation is brought in them, only God receives the glory.
Yes, yes.
See, he identifies with those who are humble. Remember now that few of us were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called us. Mm-hmm. We were nothing. We were down in the muck, the mire of sin. Nobody looked up at you and called you Reverend Doctor or Professor or somebody of dignity. They looked down on you like they looked down on a lot of us.
Amen.
Instead, God chose things of the world that considered to be foolish in order to shame those who think they were wise. And he chose things that were powerless to shame those who were powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted by many as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one ever boasts in the presence of God. Jesus, my Jesus, Savior of the world, was born in a lowly manger. Now, what does that say to all of the poor folk in the world today? It says that no matter how you start, you can end up awesome and amazing. No matter what the community might be where you were born, you can end up in paradise. No matter whether your family had the prestige of recognition in the community, indeed, you can end up being somebody in the eyes of the Master. Too often we equate our success in our being based on other human beings. But if you want to equate yourself to the babe who was born in a manger, grew to be a man, and after being killed on a cross, laid in a tomb and rose again from the dead. That's why we celebrate. That's why we gather. That's why we have all the decorations, to be reminded of God's Son, Jesus the Christ, who made all of this possible for you as well as for me. Christmas is all about Christ.
That's right.
Christmas is all about the reminder and remembrance that he was born, but yet he was born to die. And he did die. He was buried. But please keep in mind, he rose from the dead.
Amen. Amen.
And ascended to the Father. Left message that he's coming again for a church without spot, without wrinkle. Not the building, but the church in us. He's going to call you by name. So that means you have to get to know him personally in order for him to call you by your name. Christmas is real. It's not the tree. It's not the wreaths. It's not the boxes tied gaily under a tree. But it's the understanding that God sent his Son in order that you and I might have a right to the tree of life once again. May God bless you.
Amen.
May we stand, please. Now, on Tuesday, the world, most of the world, we're awake. Many will give credit to the celebration of Christmas. Many will understand that we know Christ perhaps was not born on the 25th of December. But our celebration is to be reminded that this babe was born. He lived, but he did die, and he rose again from the dead. And because of that, we celebrate, because without his birth, there would not be a resurrection. And without the resurrection, there would be no salvation for any of us. So we thank God for the celebration of his birth. Amen. And because of that celebration and because of his birth, we now extend to all who are within the sound of my voice the opportunity to publicly proclaim God's Son, this baby Jesus, as Savior in your life. Now the Bible says, if thou would just confess with thy mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It also says that all who call upon the name of Christ shall be saved. That's what the Bible records. That's what it says. And that's what we extend to you today. No matter what anyone else might tell you, there's no other condition there. Just that. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and thou shalt be saved. So if you're here today, you've done that. Wherever you did it, you're saved at that moment. Stepping out in the aisle now is just a public show of what has already taken place in your heart. You can't be saved by stepping out in an aisle. That does not save you. What saves you is your confession. In your heart, wherever you stand, you're saved. Does not mean that the stuff you bring, alcohol, drugs, promiscuity, lying, stealing, all of that is still there. It's just the Holy Spirit that's going to work with it. And in his own time, he's going to cast it out. You can't do it. If you could, we would not need God's Son, Jesus the Christ. So if you're here and you would like to publicly proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior, this is your opportunity. You may step out any aisle. If you need, we can come down to you, walk you up to the front if you need someone to escort you. So if you're here, this is your time. This is your opportunity. Perhaps you're one who has already accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. You've been praying and you've asked the Lord to guide you to a fellowship whereby you may worship. We gladly invite you to become a part of this Christian family here at Shiloh. You may come and unite with us either on your Christian experience or by letter. So if you're here, this is your opportunity to come. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Amen. Amen. We bless God for you. It's altar call time here at Shiloh. Those of you who know the work and the worth of prayer, we ask that you may come to the altar at this time as we have our altar call experience now. Will you come?
Thank you. Praise the Lord. As we prepare to look to the Lord in prayer, as I pray that you pray also.
Mm-hmm.
And remember those, oh God. Let us be grateful. Teach us to be grateful.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And more loving. Because there are so many that is less fortunate than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those that are sick and shut in.
Yes.
Well,
our neighbors, our relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are not able to come out to the household of faith.
Well,
pray. If you never prayed before, pray from the depths of your heart that God would move here in this country.
Well,
let us pray.
Talk to him.
Heavenly Father,
well,
our Father, and our God.
Yes, Lord.
It is in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father,
well,
that we come before you once again.
Thank you, Lord God.
For such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we love you, God, and we need you. Father God, we come because you are our God. You are our creator. You are our healer and you are our deliverer. And it's in you, oh God, we look to each and every day. For you are a mighty God. You are a great God. You are a God above all gods. And it's in you, oh God, we put our trust in each and every day. Because there is nothing too hard for you. You say, cast all your cares upon us. Because you care for us. And your word is true. And your Father God, we just take you at your word. We ask, oh God, that you look down upon us as we stand before you right now. Father God, that you, oh God, will just touch us and meet us at our needs. Touch us from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet. Whatever it is, oh God, we lay it before you. We pray right now that you will create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit, that we may do those things that will bring only glory and honor to you. For it's in you, oh God, we live and we move and we have our beings each and every day. We take nothing for granted. We lift you up today because you are the great I am. You said I am a jealous God. And I will have no other God before me.
Yeah.
So we bless you today. We honor you. We praise you with our whole hearts because you've been mighty good to us down through the years, oh God. Month after month and week after week, oh God. You never left us or forsake us.
Hallelujah.
Some may come, oh God, before you right now for one thing. But if there are those, oh God, that's standing in the need of a prayer, oh God. They stand in the need of your divine touch, oh God. They need you right now, oh God. So we just ask right now that you pour out your spirit upon your people, Father God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask all right now that you will hear our prayer, that you will hear our cry. Because, oh God, what will we do without you? We are hurting people. We have sinned. We have faltered. We have missed a mark, oh God. But Father God, we just thank you and praise be to you that we can come to you, ask for forgiveness, and that you will restore us back to you, oh God. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We come lifting up families right now, oh God. We pray for restoration and forgiveness, Heavenly Father. For Father God, we pray right now because there are those who have lost their way. There are those who have strayed away. There are those, Heavenly Father, that may be incarcerated. There are those who are living on the streets. There are those, oh God, in a hospital. But wherever they are, oh God, we know that you are with them. You said that you would never leave us or forsake us. So, Father God, we pray that you'll wrap your loving arms around your people. Keep us in the palms of your hand. Oh, God, that we may be found worthy to be called sons and daughters of the Most High King. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we cry out to you, Abba, Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah to your name right now, Father. We love you with our whole hearts. And Father God, we pray right now that you will continue to make us grateful for all that you continue to do in our lives. We take nothing for granted. We thank you for just keeping a roof over our head. We thank you for keeping clothes on our back, food on our tables, enabling us to pay our rents and mortgages. Oh God, we thank you. We lift up our voices to you, oh God, for you are a great God. We ask, oh God, that you will continue to bless and keep this branch of Zion. Lead, God, and direct us on in the way that you would have us to go. I pray for the leader here today, oh God, my husband. Strengthen his heart and his body, oh God. Use him for your glory, oh God. Until Heavenly Father, you cannot use him anymore. Oh, Father God, our desire is to be used only by you. To walk upright before you, oh God. And to continue to be a beacon light while we're here at this branch of Zion. Oh, Father God, keep his heart and keep his mind. Strengthen him where he may be weak. Fill him up where he's torn down. In the name of Jesus. We pray right now, oh God, that you would just continue to be with the officers of this branch of Zion. Oh God, that we will come together to work for the good of one another. Grow us day by day, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That we will continue to reach out to those that do not have. Continue to serve, Heavenly Father, according to your will and your calling. Oh God, we pray right now that you will just bless and keep this branch of Zion here on this corner of Princess Anne Street. That it'll be a soul-saving station, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. That men and women, when they come into this house of worship, may find that truly this is a place of worship. Oh God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you today, oh God, day by day. Yes. Now, Father God, those who are sick, we pray that you continue to comfort and keep them body strong. Continue to work mightily in their hearts as well as in their lives. Continue to raise them up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Touch them, oh God, where they need you the most. Those who you have blessed, oh God, that has been in the hospital, that has been in rehab. Oh God, it is a testimony of how great a God you are. We thank you, Father God. We honor you today. We magnify your name, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask right now a special blessing upon Sister Lazelia Richardson. Oh God, wherever she may be in her home or if she may be in a hospital, Father God, we pray that you pour out your healing power upon her in the name of Jesus. We know you can answer prayers and you have kept her in the name of Jesus. We know, oh God, without a shadow of doubt, that she is your daughter and that her trust and faith is in you. So Father God, we pray that you would touch her body, strengthen her heart and her mind. Let her know, oh God, that you are with her throughout her illness. And we just here to encourage her in Jesus' name. Be with her family and her husband and all those, Heavenly Father, that are attending to her needs day by day. Now, Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We pray right now that you will be with this country, oh God, because these are perilous days that we are living in. Time that has been shall be no more. And Father God, those who are in leadership position, oh God, we pray right now that you will lead, God, and direct their hearts and their minds. There are those who are resigning. There are those who are being fired. But Father God, you are the author and finisher of us all. So Father God, we will not fear. We will not fret because we know that you said that you will be with us to the end. Father God, we pray right now for those who are in Indonesia. Those have lives have been affected by this tsunami. Father God, comfort the families, oh God. Have mercy in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray right now that you, oh God, would continue to see us through, oh God, and lift us up that we may be have a heart of compassion. Father God, for those who have suffered down through the years. We've had our fires. We've had our floods. We've had killings, oh God, on the street. But Father God, we look to you, Father God, for healing of the land in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you would keep us day by day. Keep us throughout this season, Christmas season, in the name of Jesus, that truly Jesus is the reason for the season. We honor you, oh God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We magnify you today in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you will continue to bless us and make of us a blessing. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you.
We bless you.
For all things.
Yes.
This day we do pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And to God be the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let us look to the Lord as we be. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord turn his face toward thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give thee peace.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say, amen.
Amen.